information and commentary, often trying into significant dates on your lunar or solar calendars. It's a moment of reflection you'll carry with you throughout the day. Next, tune in for another captivating segment from our very own Iran Radio's productions. Following that, it's time for Let's Recite the Quran. This program draws you closer to the Holy Book, guiding you through eloquent recitation at level 2. We'll explore tajweed points through a compare and match method, applying them to the beautiful verses of the final surahs of the Holy Quran. Today's special will be back later, so stick around.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program. Today is a special. Today's topic is oral health, scientific findings, and Islamic perspectives.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath. I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please leave you, is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
Today is Saturday, the 4th of Rabiul Thani, 1447 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 5th of Mehr, 1404 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 27th of September, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's start our day with the recitation of Ayah 31 of Suratul A'raf. Please stay tuned.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا بني آدم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا إنه لا يحب المسرفين.
O children of Adam, take your adornment at every masjid, and eat and drink, but be not excessive. Indeed, he likes not those who commit excess.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to today's special. We hope you enjoyed the recitation of Ayah 31 of Suratul A'raf. Now, it has been narrated that whenever Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam stood to keep prayer, he used to wear his best cloth. In answer to the question why he used to do so, he said, Allah is beautiful and He likes beauty. Therefore, I decorate myself for him. Also, it is narrated from Ibn al-Abbas, who has said, eat whatever you desire and wear whatever you like, but beware that the two qualities of extravagance and pride do not cause you to commit sin. Now we take a break, and we'll be back in a minute. You're listening to today's special.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light. shows me right from wrong. And the world that often lies, cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Welcome back, dear listeners of iRab English Radio. Today's topic of the program, today's special, is oral health, scientific findings, and Islamic perspectives. Good hygiene is extremely important in Islam. It is a prerequisite for performing many acts of worship, and maintaining it can be an act of worship in and of itself. The Messenger of Allah, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny, has said, cleanliness is half of faith, and Alhamdulillah fills the scale, and Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah together fill up what is between the heavens and earth, and prayer is a light, and charity is proof of one's faith, and endurance is uprightness, and the Holy Quran is a proof on your behalf or against you. Purification should not be an isolated or random practice. It must be purposeful. It should be cultivated in people while they are still impressionable children.
We live in an era of highly processed foods. Daily, we consume countless amounts of sugar in our tea, coffee, and other drinks. Our lunches, our dinners, etc., are processed, are full of things that we don't even know half of those ingredients of how to pronounce them or what they even are. All of these, believe it or not, can have an impact on our health, obviously, especially our oral health. And oral health is of the utmost importance because, as we will see in this discussion today, that having bad oral health can lead to other complications down the line, some things which we would never imagine would be connected and related. But obviously, when we recognize that our body is a very complex machine, we recognize that every part of the body affects the other part of it. And ultimately, we know as Muslims that this body that we have is an amana, is a trust from God. Allah has given us this body to use, not to abuse, and we are expected to return it back to the Creator in the way that we had received it. Now, when we look at the topic of oral hygiene, we recognize that dentists tell us that not taking care of our teeth can lead to major health issues. Again, as I said, you know, some of these seem far-fetched and far removed from reality. But the fact remains is that bad oral hygiene, not taking care of our teeth, and that involves many different aspects, that this can lead to many health complications.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Spiritual aspects of oral hygiene. If the mouth is not kept spiritually clean, the core of the spiritual body, the heart, will also become unhealthy. We can keep the mouth spiritually clean by avoiding the sins of the tongue, such as lying, backbiting, and vain talk. The Messenger of Allah, Prophet Muhammad, was asked, what admits most people into paradise? The Prophet said, fear of Allah and good character. It was asked, what condemns most people to hellfire? The Prophet said, the mouth and the genitals. An unhealthy mouth, like an unhealthy body, can cause us to have a bad end. The physical condition of the mouth is connected to our worship. After washing the hands in wudu or ablution, the mouth is the next part of the body that the worshipper cleans by rinsing it with pure water. Many acts of worship must be preceded by wudu. it's a time for tips to boost your oral hygiene routine. Number one, wait before you brush. In the habit of starting your morning off with a glass of orange juice. Are you in the habit of starting your morning off with a glass of orange juice? You are going to want to hold off on brushing for a while afterwards. Foods and drinks with a low pH, that is, acidic foods, temporarily soften the enamel of the teeth. If you immediately follow up with brushing, the action could remove some of the enamel, making your teeth more susceptible to decay over time, says Michael Lynch, Global Director of Oral Care and Fellow Global Scientific Engagement Incorporation. So your best bet is to delay brushing after you have had citrus fruits and juices, tomatoes, soda, and etc. One study found that people who waited 30 to 60 minutes to brush after drinking soda had less wear on their teeth than those who brushed sooner.
Experts tell us, you know, something like heart disease or stroke risk actually increase due to the bacteria in our mouth and the plaque which enters into our bloodstream through our gums, that this can lead to an increased risk of a heart attack. People can also face respiratory problems when they don't take good care of their teeth. This and many, many actually other health issues have been documented by the health experts. And they tell us that by not having good oral hygiene, these and many other problems can creep up into our lives. Now, when we look at the religion of Islam, because we know that this is our guidebook for life, the Quran, and the example of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family. If we look in the Quran, we don't see guidance on how to brush our teeth, how often, with what should we use to brush. But if we go to the Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family, in his sunnah, we will see many glimpses of wisdom. But we also have to appreciate, brothers and sisters, that the Prophet did not speak about the need of good oral hygiene through a medical or the scientific lens. He didn't express the medical aspects and the perspective of modern medicine or medicine of his era, let's say, as to why he instructed and highly advised his community of followers to have good oral hygiene and to brush and to take care of themselves. These are obviously discoveries of today. But what the Prophet did do is he showed us something much more valuable than medical science, because as we know, modern science changes, new research discovers new realities, and so there is always a flux of change within the world of science. But what he did do is to show us something that is not going to change. It is very stationary, and it is also progressive in the understanding that whatever he told us to do or whatever he told us not to do is because there is some greater good in it, some greater wisdom in that action.
Thank you very much for staying with us with today's special with me, Atta, the host of this program. We hope you enjoyed and benefited from today's topic, which was oral hygiene and oral health, from Islamic perspective and also scientific perspective. Please, for more information, visit our website, our new website, iranradio.ir. Till another episode, God bless you all. Take care. Fi amanallah.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door.
showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside, I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Everything you do defines yourself. Now I know we all have good intention. In different ways we have to cope with stress. But for me it's easy, 'cause I know this evening. For me it's easy, I know you see me. Now I know you're kind of scared now. I can see it all in your face. For every trial and tribulation, there will be a saving grace. Our love will never burden. We're more than you can bear. How can you reach the heavens?
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, salam, and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day, where sacred words meet sincere hearts of yours. Today's episode is built around a hadith that challenges our emotions, our alliances, and even our politics. It comes from Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him, and narrates from the Messenger of God, peace be upon him and his holy progeny. Whoever loves for the sake of Allah, hates for the sake of Allah, gives for the sake of Allah and withholds for the sake of Allah is among the most sincere of believers in the sight of Allah. Beware, when two believers love one another for the sake of Allah and are loyal for His sake, they are like one body. If one part suffers, the other feels its pain. This is reported in classical sources, including Al-Kafi and others. So let's reflect on what this means. We live in a world full of conditional relationships. I love you as long as you agree with me. I support you as long as it benefits me. I give, but only when it's useful. But the Prophet gives us a different measure. Do you do all this for God? Not for popularity, not for tribe, not even for your own comfort. So loving in God means loving those who walk His path, even if they are unpopular. Withholding for God means refusing to support injustice, even if it benefits you. And being one body means you feel the pain of others, not just those in your circle. Interestingly, science supports this level of unity. Neuroscientists have found that humans literally feel the pain of others through what's called mirror neurons. When you see someone suffer, especially someone you care for, the pain centers in your own brain activate as if it's happening to you. But what makes someone close in your brain? Not just blood, shared meaning and values. So when believers love in God, not in blood, ethnicity, or language, or other things, that closeness becomes real. The Prophet's words, like one body, aren't just poetic, they're neurologically accurate. So this hadith also gives us a compass in morally confusing times. Sometimes giving to someone we like may not be right. Staying silent in the face of wrong may benefit us, but displeases God. So the Prophet says, the true believer gives and withholds not based on favoritism, but on divine values. You support truth no matter who speaks it. You stand against injustice, even if it's done by your own. You don't love someone simply because they share your language or passport. You love them because they reflect the light of God. So is that true for you, about you? Is that how you live, how you value things? We should ask ourselves. And here's where we must be very careful. Loving for Allah must not be selective. It must not be based on personal gain, racial pride, or national interest. It must not favor one person or group over another because of where they were born or how useful they are to us. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
welcome to Women of Resistance. Saja Musallam has already paid a high price during the ongoing 21-month genocide on Gaza. I lost the most precious thing to me, my husband, says a mother of three young children. I'm scared of every sound for my children, but despite that, we will never leave Gaza. Trump and Netanyahu can do whatever they want, but we aren't going anywhere, says Saja with steely determination. Here is more of her.
There are some people you feel are old souls. A young body, but with a spirit that radiates a knowledge born from being wise beyond mere years. Meet Gaza's latest hero. Gaza, under direct occupation, was all Saja has ever known throughout her young life. Despite it all, a loving home was at its very center. Gaza was never far away from direct Israeli aggression. The realities of life in Gaza meant Saja had to shelve some of her ambitions, but the desire to now push on is fueled by her responsibilities as a mother, an example to her three young children. It is membership to a club no one wants to be in, the Widows of the Genocide Clan. After the martyrdom of her husband, an even deeper fear has been unlocked: how to keep her young children safe. Tel Aviv and its backers in Washington, London, and Brussels have unleashed waves of devastation on Gaza's population. Though difficult, the old life in Gaza is remembered fondly in comparison to the present hellscape. Saja has summoned a superhuman strength simply because her new situation has forced her hand. It is now clear that Netanyahu and his fellow genocidal backers miscalculated the depth of Palestinians' attachments to their homeland. They severely overestimated the results of their barbarity. Palestinians have a higher authority, and martyrdom in service to their faith is to be embraced, not feared. Saja knows despite her circumstances, she has a renewed sense of inspiration. With her support system now destroyed, Saja now faces an uphill battle every day simply to keep her children alive. The ordinary citizen has not forgotten Gaza's brave people, but to those living under the threat of death every day from every angle, the actions of our governments tell a different story. The genocide in Gaza is not just a taker of lives, it's a killer of dreams. For over 21 months, Gazans have had no other choice than focus on simply staying alive. This leaves no space for ambition, thoughts of the future. This genocide's biggest victim has been hope. But Saja is fighting that sense of hopelessness. There is something beyond the killings, the maimings, the utter destruction, and she's determined to find it.
Now joining me in the studio today to discuss Saja's story is Doreen Hirji. She's a life coach, NLP practitioner, and a mom of three herself. Welcome, Doreen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Doreen, your initial thoughts as you heard Saja's story, really heartbreaking, a story of all Palestinian women.
Absolutely. I think when I heard her story and knowing that she herself is such a young mother, it was, like you said, it was heartbreaking. Both heartbreaking, but I was also in awe of her as well. Heartbreaking because I think no mother, no woman should have to go through what Saja has gone through. Because that's the basic human need is to be loved and to be around your loved one, and to be deprived of that, it is absolutely heart-wrenching. But I'm also in awe of this woman because you can hear the strength in her voice, the determination in her voice, and the fact that she's drawing some sort of resilience out of this challenge And that, for me, is quite inspirational.
It's interesting, Doreen, because you are an NLP practitioner, which I believe is you train your brain, you know, to be focused. And this woman, you know, she has had no training. She's 20 years old. But the determination and the clear vision you see, you know, we are not leaving our homeland, come what may. And she, this is not for somebody who's sitting in a comfort zone. She has paid a price for that. You know, she's scared with every sound for her children. How does this come about? She's had no life coaching, no training. How does she have this, you know, absolute clear vision?
I think it's clear that, you know, coming from an NLP background, like you said, I know that the mind is a powerful organ. It's one of the most powerful part of our body, which controls everything that we're about. And it's so powerful that in this case, for example, in Sajjad's case, she has actually snapped into a state of, normally it's flight or fight, but she's decided to stay and fight. And, you know, what you focus on grows. You move towards what you focus on. And it is clear with Sajjad that she is focused on her children. She's focused on her identity. She doesn't want to be erased. She doesn't want her story to be erased. She doesn't want her children to be erased. You can feel a conflict within her because she talks about how she herself has just come out of teenagehood. She's only 20 years old. So she's just a child herself, or just coming out of childhood. And she had a dream, which was to be a maths teacher. But she is still holding on to the hope that her children, you know, she talked about controlling the fate of her children. So she still has that hope that, her, you know, there is a future for her children. But also at the same time, she talks about seeing children being bombed every day. So there is that conflict within her, and the fact that she's got that resilience and that hope. Yeah. I think, you know, generationally, you can tell that she's gone through it. She's gone through many wars, and she knows what to do. As soon as her husband left, she snapped into a state of survival, which is amazing to watch.
I completely understand what you're saying, but I still find it really difficult, you know, to understand. Like, she watched her husband and her mother, her only support system, because they were living together, you know, pulled out of rubble, having been martyred. There is constant sound of this bombing happening. She's scared that she might lose her children or herself and leave, you know, these children orphaned. There's no food. There's no water getting in. There's no medication. You know, she talks about how the children are suffering in the heat. And how does a 20-year-old, Doreen, you know, when you know our 20-year-olds here, you know, can barely manage to get out of bed on time in the mornings, how does this woman do it?
I think that's the beauty of the human mind, and also the fact that we were created so perfectly by God, that she has actually developed a coping mechanism, and her coping mechanism is to hold on to her three children, hold on to their safety and their protection. And like you said, it's not something that she probably consciously is aware of it, but it's just something that has awakened within her, that she knows she's got to feed her three children. She talks about the fact that I have been given these three children by God, and she lives for them. She's coping through small things. It doesn't have to be major things. She talks about her own memories being a child. She talks about her being happy as a child. She talks about her being happy before October the 7th, about her married life and her life with her children. So she's really holding on to that. She's holding on to the beautiful and innocent faces of her children, seeing them, you know, when they're drinking and when they're eating. Just that satisfaction is, you know, it feels to me that it makes her feel like she can keep on going and holding on to faith as well.
Absolutely. Now, I'm interested, Doreen, because you are a life coach and you speak to people, you know, with a lot of mental health issues in the UK at the moment, as we know. What is it that, you know, makes us less resilient? You know, I don't want to say that mental health is, you know, you're not strong. It's not that. There's a medical reasons why people can be very ill. But we find increasingly, you know, we have less and less ability to face challenges. You know, what is it about these women? It's not just Sajjad. We speak to all Palestinian women. They have this absolute resilience. Do you think, is it because we have too much? Do we not have something to strive for?
I think what she has is a purpose. She has a clear vision. And what she has, which perhaps we lack a little bit, is faith. It has been clear from her interview that she mentions God time and time again. She has lost her support. We have support system here in the UK. We have help. We have our families. She's losing what is her most important pillar. And yet she's able to partner with God. And she says that, you know, she mentions the ayat of the Quran, that Allah is sufficient. And I think that unwavering and unshakable faith is what keeps her being resilient. And also sometimes when you lose everything, you lose maybe everything around you, but what she can tell clearly, she doesn't want to lose herself. She doesn't want to lose her kids. And yes, I think sometimes when we have a lot around us, it's easy to kind of give up. We give up easily because we have too much to choose from. We don't have enough steadfastness, whereas you can tell from even the tone of her voice is so strong. She is such a confident woman. I wonder sometimes what would have been her fate if she had all the resources that we would have and where she would reach in her life. Because she has a dream of being a maths teacher.
Let's talk about us, but collectively as an ummah. She talks about the Muslim and Arab countries in the region. You know, when they need help, they need food, there's Egypt nearby. You know, there's nothing coming in. What they're sending is shrouds. And she says, you know, it's like they are in acceptance of the fact that this is our fate. Where have we gone wrong as a Muslim ummah?
It's really heartbreaking, actually, to see and to witness that in today's age when we have so much resources that this is actually happening. And I think, you know, in the Quran, Allah says, you know, we are one body. And when one part of the body hurts, the whole body does hurt. Yet, I think we are now, unfortunately, reaching times where we are losing the very fabric of our faith, which is compassion, which is love, which is peace, which is care. I think we're losing that sense of caring for one another. And I also think that, you know, this kind of shows that maybe the value of human life doesn't count anymore. A human life, priorities have changed.
Is it that life doesn't count, or is it that some lives count more than others?
Some life counts more than others. And I think that, you know, she herself is saying that if the world is giving up on us, I'm not going to give up on myself, and I'm not going to give up on my children. Mm-hmm. And actually, we and the Muslim countries around, she's a role model to them, I would say, mm-hmm. because you can tell priorities is around different things now. You know, it's around money, it's around other partnerships, and we're forgetting who we are. And I wonder where this world is heading towards if we continue in this direction.
Absolutely. And the other thing, you know, she talks about is, instead of asking for money, she says, speak about us, you know, don't be silent, keep talking about us. Doreen, we have been speaking, we try, you know, we have marches, we have processions, but the genocide doesn't stop. What can we do? What more can we do?
Look, I think that's in itself a whole discussion, just that question. It's a very powerful question, I think. And I think consistency is key, being consistent in the little things that we do. And, you know, some people are able to keep donating, don't give up. Just the fact that, you know, she's asking us, she's calling out to us. It sounds a bit like the call of Halmi Nasser, and, you know, and it's very similar to that. Don't forget about us. They do rely on us. And it's whether it's donating, continuing protests, continuing whatever lobbying, and everyone is doing the bit that they can. No judgments on what is one doing, you know, why aren't you doing that, you know, whether that's not supporting certain companies. And I think it's just keep going and not forgetting about them. And I think it's very clear from what she's calling out is, please don't forget about us.
But it's also a fact that there is a lot of people still, especially when we speak of Western countries, who are not yet really up there speaking out for them. This includes the, you know, Muslim Ummah, but also this. I sometimes feel like, you know, there is more of people who are not of the Islamic faith who are standing up for Palestinians than the Muslims, you know. What do we do? What can we do to make more people aware, especially in the Western countries?
Yeah, I think, like I said, it's just keep speaking about it, keep raising awareness about it. And like you said very, very, very well, there has been a global awakening, and there has been a sort of, you know, truth, that there's been a very clear cut between truth and falsehood. And I think this war has actually, it's a long-standing war, but this particular story stands out, just like, you know, all of the women who are going through the same thing. It's standing out to say, keep doing more of it. Keep
raising awareness.
We've basically
learned resistance and resilience from the women in Gaza and elsewhere, Lebanon, Yemen, Iran. Thank you so much, Doreen. Really appreciate having you with us today. And thank you for being with us. We'll leave you with the sounds of Palestine by the artist Saif. Goodbye.
Before over a million times, who would ever thought that it would be our time? I just know it, 'cause you're the one. It ain't a selfish love when I'm with you. Remind me of the month so I know it's true. I'll just say it, you are the one. Won't you be my BFF forever? Won't you be my partner after this world? We'll see when we believe it together. The dreams are meant to be, 'cause you're the one. Every single day, I'll just say it, 'cause you're the one. And when times are tough, we've got the world to see. Standing right beside you is where I wanna be. I just know it, you are the one. Won't you be? About this just over a million times. Who had ever thought that I could call you mine? I just know it, 'cause you're the one. And when there's gray in our hair, we've not much to do. I wanna spend the rest of my days with you. Oh, don't you know it? You are the one. Won't you be the one?
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
القرآن نور وبيان، القرآن هدي الإيمان، القرآن مسك الختام، يا قرآن عليك سلام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners listening to Arab English Radio right now from all over the world. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran in Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by Arab English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm Habibullah Fasihzadeh, together with brothers Ali Nasir, Hassan Nasrullah, Hussein Ruhullah, and Muhammad Masum, right? So everyone is here. I really welcome you all. Inshallah, today we will practice Ayah 31, verse number 31, Surah Al-Ra'd on page 253, right?
Yes.
Yes. This is a very long ayah, so we will just go to the tajweed points and also the recitation. Inshallah, I really want you to go for the explanation and the tafsir points. Refer to the tafsir books and learn about them, okay? All right?
Yes.
Yes.
So, everyone, first and foremost, let's listen to a beautiful recitation of this ayah. Let's go.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. ولو أن قرآنا سيرت به الجبال أو قطعت به الأرض أو كلم به الموتى بل لله الأمر جميعا أفلم ييأس الذين آمنوا أن لو يشاء الله لهدى الناس جميعا ولا يزال الذين كفروا تصيبهم بما صنعوا قارعة أو تحل قريبا من دارهم حتى يأتي وعد الله إن الله لا يخلف الميعاد.
And if there was any Quran by which the mountains would be removed, or the earth would be broken apart, or the dead would be made to speak, it would be this Quran. But to Allah belongs the affair entirely. Then have those who believed not accepted that had Allah willed, He would have guided the people, all of them. And those who disbelieve do not cease to be struck for what they have done by calamity, or it will descend near their home until there comes the promise of Allah. Indeed, Allah does not fail in His promise.
Nice recitation, mashallah, mashallah. Okay, I will read this ayah once. Listen. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولو أن قرآنا سيرت به الجبال أو قطعت به الأرض أو كلم به الموتى بل لله الأمر جميعا أفلم ييأس الذين آمنوا أن لو يشاء الله لهدى الناس جميعا ولا يزال الذين كفروا تصيبهم بما صنعوا قارعة أو تحل قريبا من دارهم حتى يأتي وعد الله إن الله لا يخلف الميعاد. عاد. The explanation of this ayah is super beautiful. I want you to I really recommend you refer to the tafsir books, inshallah. So, guys, who wants to recite this ayah once? Like, Masum, recite it. So, with your recitation, okay, I'll explain this. Go on. Listen, everyone.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
Good.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أحسنتم.
ولو أن قرآنا سيرت به الجبال أو قطعت به الأرض أو كلم به الموتى.
أحسنتم. ولو أن we have mentioned it time and again that whenever noon carries a shadda or meme has a shadda, you have to extend the sound and also pronounce it with a nasal sound. أن ولو أن قرآنا سيرت قرآنا سيرت. How do you read this?
قرآنا سيرت.
إخفاء, right?
Yes.
قرآنا سيرت. Make sure سيرت sound of ta shouldn't be there. It shouldn't be pronounced this way. سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْ No, not sound, no. سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْ Okay? جِبَالُ أَوْ قُطِعَتْ بِهِ الْ like a heavy sound with ra, تفخيم الرا. أَرْضُ أَوْ كُلِّمَ بِهِ الْمَوْتَى. Hassan, Masum stopped here. He made a pause here. Right at the word mauta, was he allowed to make a pause here?
Yes.
What does that station tell us? The qila, that sign.
Qila says it's better to make a pause.
Better to make a pause. Good job.
But you can continue.
You can continue. You're right. You can continue. Okay. بل لله الأمر جميعا. بل لله. Yes. You join them. بَلِّلَّهِ الْأَمْرُ جَمِيعًا. He pronounced it جَمِيعًا. The reciter, yes, Minshawi. جَمِيعًا. So, recite it once.
بَلِّلَّهِ الْأَمْرُ جَمِيعًا.
أحسنتم. So, تنوين فتحة, whenever you end on a word having تنوين فتحة, you change it to
Alif
ma, jami'an, fatha on the last letter, which is ayn, with an alif, jami'a. That's why you have an alif there.
Yes.
So, move on. Afalam.
Afalam yay'asil ladhina amanu an law yasha'u Allahu lahadan nasa jami'a.
Ahsantum. Afalam yay. Do you see there is a sakin, a sukun sign on the Alif, yay asil.
Yes.
So that sukun sign on alif tells you that this alif is silent. Don't read it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say yay. No, yay asil. So yay asil ladina amanu an law. How do you say this? You merge them. Yes.
An law.
Al law, not an law. Al law. Yasha. The mad is.
Wajib.
A wajib mad. You have to extend it. For six counts, four, five, six counts. Allahu yasha'u Allahu, Allah, heavy sound. Lahadannas, again, noon with shadda. Jami'an, jami'a. Move on.
ولا يزال الذين كفروا تصيبهم بما صنعوا قارعة أو تحل قريبا من دارهم.
أحسنتم. ولا يزال الذين كفروا تصيبهم ميم ساكن ends with a ميم ساكن and the next letter is ب إخفاء with the letter ميم تصيبهم بما not تصيبهم بما do not pronounce ميم correct like completely
yes.
fully. بما صنعوا قارعة أو تحل قارعة أو this is called the rule إظهار right
yes.
قارعة أو you completely clearly pronounce the tun the tanwin.
شط حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy. What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
أو تحل قريبا من دارهم. How do you say this?
قريبا
من. أحسن. قريبا من. This is called إخفاء دارهم. Alright, move on. أو تحل
قريبا من دارهم حتى يأتي وعد الله.
أحسنتم. Move on. Oh, wait. That gym indicates that?
Jim allows us to make a pause.
Okay.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ.
أحسنتم. The dal at the end will be changed to a ساكن dal. Yeah, ميعاد becomes ميعاد. You have to echo the sound. That's it. Super easy. Too many rules, but they all are easy. I will recite this ayah once. Let's practice the recitation. That will be the last part of our class. Everyone ready?
Yes.
Brothers
yes.
and sisters, hope you join our recitation. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ولو أن قرآنا سيرت به الجبال أو قطعت به الأرض أو كلم به الموتى.
ولو أن قرآنا سيرت به الجبال أو قطعت به الأرض أو كلم به الموتى.
بل لله الأمر جميعا. أفلم ييأس الذين آمنوا أن لو يشاء الله لهدى الناس جميعا.
أفلم ييأس الذين آمنوا أن لو يشاء الله لهدى الناس جميعا.
ولا يزال الذين كفروا تصيبهم بما صنعوا قارعة أو تحل قريبا من دارهم.
ولا يزال الذين كفروا